जय राध माधव जय कुंज नष्ट प्रायश्व भद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
अति उत्तमः श्लोके
भगवति उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नष्टुके
भक्तिर्भवति नष्टुके
मुखं करोति वाचालम्
मुखं करोति वाचालम्
मंगुं लंगयते गिरिं
मंगुं लंगयते गिरिं
यत्रपात्रं वन्दे
यत्रपात्रं वन्दे
श्रीगुरुदीनतारणम्
श्रीगुरुदीनतारणम्
परमानन्दमाधवम्
परमानन्दमाधवम्
Hare Krishna everyone, welcome to Guru Ayur Dham and thanks to Sri Ram Prabhu, Sudama Prabhu, Pandita Mataji, Gopa and Anirudh Prabhu staying with us today. So we'll read from Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 21.
किरीटजुष्टम्
भारा परं पट्टकिरीटजुष्टम्
అభియుత్తమాంగం నమే ముకుందం సావౌ కరో నో కురుతే సపర్యాం హరేర్లసత్ కంచన కంకణో వా
who can afford mukti, freedom. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles,
are like those of a dead man.
If not engaged,
in the service of personality of Godhead Hari.
Purport. As stated here and before, there are three kinds of devotees of the Lord. The first class devotees does not all see anyone who is not in the service of the Lord. But a second class devotee makes distinctions between devotees and non-devotees. The second class devotees are therefore meant for preaching work, and as referred to in the above verse, they must loudly preach the glories of the Lord. The second class devotee accepts disciples from the sections of third class devotees or non-devotees. Sometimes first class devotees also comes down to the category of the second class devotee for preaching work. But the common man who is expected to become at least a third class devotee is advised herein to visit the temple of the Lord and bow down before the deity. Even though he may be a very rich man or even a king with a silk turban or crown, the Lord is the Lord of everyone, including the great kings and emperors. And men who are rich in estimation of mundane people must therefore make it a point to visit the temple of Lord Shri Krishna and regularly bow down before the deity. The Lord in the temple, in the worshipable form, is never to be considered to be made of stone or wood. For Lord is in his earth incarnation as the deity in the temple shows immense favor to the fallen souls by his auspicious presence. By the hearing process, as mentioned here before, this realization of the presence of the Lord in the temple is made possible. As such, the first process in the routine work of devotional service is hearing, is the essential point. Hearing by all cases of classes of devotees from the authentic source like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is essential. The common man who is puffed up with his material position and does not bow down before the deity of the Lord in the temple, and who defies temple worship without any knowledge of the science, must know that his so-called turban or crown will only succeed in further drowning him in the water of the ocean of material existence. A drowning man with a heavy weight on his head is sure to go down more swiftly than those who have no heavy weight. A foolish, puffed up man defies the science of gods and says that God has no meaning for him. But when he is in the grip of God's law and is caught by some disease like cerebral thrombosis, that godless man sinks into the ocean of nascence by the weight of his material acquisition. Advancement of material science without God consciousness is a heavy load on the head of human society, and so one must take heed of this great warning. The common man, if he has no time to worship the Lord, may at least engage his hands for a few seconds in washing or sweeping the Lord's temple. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, the greatly powerful king of Orissa, was always very busy with heavy state responsibilities. Yet he made it a point to sweep the temple of Lord Jagannath at Puri once a year during the festival of the Lord. The idea is that however important a man may be, he must accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. This God consciousness will help a man even in material prosperity. Maharaj Pratap Rudra's subordination before Lord Jagannath made him a powerful king, so much so that even the great Pathan in his time could not enter into Orissa on account of powerful Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And at last Maharaj Pratap Rudra was graced by Lord Sri Chaitanya on the very grounds of his acceptance of subordination to the Lord of the universe. So even though a rich man's wife has glittering bangles made of gold on her hand, she must engage herself in rendering service to the Lord. So we've been reading these shlokas, so it's in continuation of what we were reading earlier, and it's what it is talking about, the various stages in bhakti, and the chapter's title is Pure Devotional Service. Okay. So here, in the context of this shloka, there's a very important important word, which is Lord's name, and Lord's name is being called, and what's the name of the Lord being called yet?
Mukunda.
And what's the meaning of Mukunda is being said?
The deliverer.
And Srila Prabhupada has taught in told in his purport about the giver of freedom, yeah, the who can award mukti or freedom. So even though mukti in the sense being told that devotees don't prefer mukti, they would prefer devotional service, but then in this context here, Srila Prabhupada explained in purport that there is being told, spoken about people who are just beginning the bhakti, isn't it? So even though somebody is not at that bhakta platform, but at least by bowing down to Krishna, he can get delivered mukti, which is not sought after by a devotee, isn't it? Because devotees always ask for devotional service. So it's very important, like in various shlokas and in various places, Lord's been addressed by different names, and there's a particular reason for telling. So we should always, you know, be inquisitive why he's called Mukunda here, why he's called Madhava here, why he's called Krishna here. So somewhere he's been addressed as Madhusudana in Bhagavad Gita. So then we'll see the context that since he destroyed the demon, Arjuna is saying, dispel my demon inside, or the, his doubts in his mind about his doing. So Mukunda here is Bhagwan is referred here as the deliverer, and who can deliver bhakti to devotee who's wanting devotee, and mukti to someone who's not at that platform, but he just goes and simply bows down to the Lord. And then in purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about three kinds of devotees of the Lord. So for the three kinds of devotees?
First class, second class, and third class.
Three class of.
So Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Kanishtha Adhikari. So Uttam Adhikari are being explained as a person who doesn't see anyone as non-devotee. He considers everyone is engaged in Krishna service, and he doesn't differentiate between anyone. And he considered himself to be the lowest. You know, that's the quality of Uttam Adhikari. So the more and more devotee thinks that I am the lowest, the more and more he is gradually progressing. And the biggest test you know, to see if somebody is progressing or not, and when he really considers to him the lowest or not, could be done by a little, you know, if somebody challenges someone, or could be done by little hurt to his ego. We get super angry. Something small happened, we get super angry and said, oh, how he could say this to me? Doesn't he know who am I? I've been coming to temple for 12 years, I've been attending classes for 15 years, I've been chanting 16 rounds for 10 years, how can he say this to me? It happens like, so even though we are, I may be calling my devotee, but I get inflamed by little things. And I would call Siddhartha Prabhu, Siddhartha Prabhu, why did he do this? He didn't do this. So that shows that how low we are, because we are not progressing, we are not having that, imbibing that qualities of being devotee, which is considering everything, everyone else to be superior than ourselves. And we have some of the great examples to follow. So all the acharyas, and you know, like my favorite story is about our favorite acharya is Haridas Thakur, because he's also called Namacharya. He was so absorbed in his chanting of the names, he wouldn't have time for anything else, and he delivered to the prostitute who came to entice him, and he made her devotee as well. So Haridas Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktisiddhant Saraswati Thakur, so all these devotees, if you see their prayers to the Lord in all the bhajans we sing, they consider themselves to be lowest. And they're always seeking for Lord's praying, they're always seeking for Lord's mercy and saying that, I am the lowest, please deliver me the first. What are your examples of Uttam Adhikari? Uttamandi is always ready to serve Lord, always considering himself to be Lord.
Arjuna also.
Arjuna as well, he surrendered to the Lord, and then
Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada, yeah.
All Maharaj also, Jagannatha.
All sannyasis today, yeah. They are freely distributing.
He is the best example of Uttama Adhikari, Radha. He does not discriminate between devotees and non-devotees.
Yeah, she freely delivers everyone who ever goes. So, consider ourselves, we are so fallen, but then she is allowing us that mercy that we are able to hear and speak about Krishna's story. Without her mercy, we are nothing. And you know, as also they say that if a son or kid has to get something from parents, he would go to mother first. So he says that mothers are more soft and more merciful. So Radharani, Srila Prabhupada, Hanumanji, any other example of Prabhupada?
There are so many, all the Mahajans,
yeah. They're freely distributed. I mean, you see all these sannyasis today are in 60-65 age, and they are all traveling around the world from one place to other place. They're not bothering about jet lag, they're not bothered about their own health, they're not bothered about which part, which place, which regulation, CIA, or you know, so many impediments in their thing. But then they are freely distributing Krishna to everyone. They have only one mission, to distribute Krishna prema to everyone. Then comes Madhyam Adhikari, and then one of the qualities of Madhyam Adhikari, they said that he distinguishes between devotee and non-devotee. So there is a very wrong connotation, because society misused this distinction. Now discrimination is considered wrong, and then people see it as with a negative connotation, and because they say racial discrimination, you're discriminating among people. But here discrimination is necessary. There's a positive connotation to here. Why is it positive here, this discrimination?
Otherwise we don't know how to preach.
Yeah, we'll not know who needs our help. If we'll not discriminate at who's already a devotee and who's non-devotee or who's progressing, then we don't know who should be our target. Or so who needs our help most. So here the Madhyam Adhikari is not discriminating to make him stay outside, you are not devotee, you are sit outside, do not enter temple. So this is not that kind of discrimination. Here the discrimination is a positive side of discrimination, that wherein devotee is saying who should be taken care more. So if they see that this devotee is very enthusiastic, you see spark in people, and then they say that they haven't got proper care or proper way of worshipping thing or proper way of approaching the Lord, then this kind of discrimination helps us to analyze our energy in promoting this. And here Prabhupada is saying that sometimes Uttam Adhikari comes down to Madhyam Adhikari and accepts disciples. So that's where we can see that Srila Prabhupada, even though he's Uttam Adhikari, he comes down to that level to discriminate and between devotees and non-devotees, and then delivers them by giving initiation to them, by giving Harinam to them. Yeah?
So Prabhupada is Uttam Adhikari, but he comes down to Madhyam Adhikari. Means what?
So Uttam Adhikari, they don't see anyone as non-devotee, and they treat everyone as same. Yeah? But if that is that remains like that, then he wouldn't know. There will be same amount of care would be given to everyone, because for him, everyone is above him. For Uttam Adhikari,
he will not have the scope for making more devotees.
He wouldn't consider anyone as non-devotee. So an Uttam Adhikari wouldn't consider anyone non-devotee. So there is no need for him to preach him, or there's no need for him to give any support, uplift others. So he's considering himself to be the lowest. But Srila Prabhupada comes down to Madhyam Adhikari level so that he can discriminate between devotee and non-devotee and give the care to the person who needs the most. And that's what is actually explained here as well. The second class devotees are therefore meant for preaching work and are referred to in the above case. They must loudly preach the glories of the Lord. The second class devotee accept disciples from the section of third class devotees or non-devotees. Sometimes the first class devotee also come down to the category of second class devotee for preaching work. So all these sannyasis also, they are, even though they are first class devotees, but they come down to Madhyam Adhikari so that they can accept us as disciple, and then can preach to us, then tell because they are the subject matter experts in those things. So we need, if we're doing something new, we always go to the subject matter expert, that how should we do this, how should we practice this. So they come down to tell us. And then third is Kanishtha Adhikari, which is the third level, and Kanishtha Adhikaris are considered to be the person like who are going to temple, going down to the mandir. So we, when we were in London, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, there were devotees who were coming for 40 years, and they were like patrons. They were patrons for 30 years, so they were paying to temple for 30 years. So they used to be an annual feast, in which nice big hall was created, and the nice big tent was created in the ground. You've seen that parking area. On the parking area, nice big hall was created. Everything white, and nicely decorated, very plush, you know, like top class. And all these mayors and the patrons were invited for dinner, and everyone was facilitated that who was patron for 30 years, who was patron for 25 years. And I was thinking that, you know, that these must be really, really good devotees. And one, so we were all spread across the hall so that we can facilitate or interact with, you know, guests or patrons. So all of them looked very favorable for Krishna consciousness, but then they hardly knew any philosophy, or they hardly knew any devotees in the temple. So they were all coming, bowing down, putting a coin of pound or something in the thing, and then eating prasad and going back. So this is kind of that category, that they've at least started coming to the temple. Yeah, the process has started, but then they haven't picked up the essence of Krishna consciousness. So they know that these deities of Radha Gokulnanda are Bhagwan, so they're bowing down in front of them. They're favorable, they sit down, listen to Kirtan few minutes, eat prasadam outside, and then go. It's like sometimes it's like a routine or a picnic type of thing, you know, like going away from the mundane thing. So we did that too. I mean, our journey in Krishna consciousness for to go to temple is to go and eat prasad. So when we were in Bombay, Radha Gopinath was just behind my hostel. So every weekend I used to just go to eat nice Krishna prasad with devotees. So in Boston, we searched for ISKCON Boston just so that we can over the weekend go and eat some Indian prasad over there. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying that when we are going to temple, what should we do? What did we read there in the purport?
Should go down.
Go down, and then how the process starts? Like, what is the first process? He said.
Hearing.
He's saying that. As such, the first process in the routine work of devotional services, hearing is the essential point. And hearing by all classes of devotees from authentic sources like Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is essential. The common, yeah? So when we go to temple, it shouldn't be like a sightseeing or picnic. We should go there to hear about Krishna, to have association of devotees, and not consider these deities are made of wood or glass, stone and wood. I mean, just to give example, like somewhere we see that in some homes, great-grandparents or grandparents, they have pictures hanging who have passed away. And then these people offer garlands to them, garlands and agarbatti to them. So are they offering this garland and agarbatti to the picture, like which is made of glass and wood, or are they offering garland and agarbatti to that personality whose picture is there?
Sometimes sometimes customs, just they are doing all of it.
But the objective behind that is, objective behind is that person is infected. Okay. Mm-hmm. The same way the objective of devotees to do service or to offer to lordship is to the Lord, not to consider them as stone or wood.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord takes this incarnation or archa incarnation for the benefit of devotees, archa vigraha. Subham Mangalati karte hain, so there is this thing, Shiva Grahara Dana Nityanana Shringaratan Mandir Marjanado Yuktasya Bhattan Shanyantato Hi Mandir Guru Shri Chaturna. So we are in that Arch Vigraha, we are worshipping the Bhagwan themselves. And Bhagwan themselves, by causeless mercy, is appearing in that person. So he is non-different. And he is doing it for our benefit. He is becoming merciful to come. So like when people come to our home and they say, oh, how you're looking after, how you have so many lords and how you're looking after them. So I said, we don't look after them, they look after us. है कि नहीं हमारी क्या हैसियत है
absolutely
we are nobody to look after look after him. He is the one who look after us. और Srila Prabhupada in various lecture quotes this about example of post office, like we have this authorized red post boxes. Abhi yahan to nahi dikhta, but in India still you can see some of these authorized red post boxes.
Yeah, yellow.
Yeah. So people put chitti in that, and what happens, that chitti reaches to the destination. So same way, these are like authorized deities or authorized wish taker for us, and then those wishes gets granted because they reach to the right place. So we have to ask very carefully. We have to be very, very careful in asking what we are asking. So in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that jo material wealth hai, material cheeze hai, and Prabhupada ne example kariya, he has given example of the turban. The more heavier the turban, the more swiftly we will drown. So the more material things we ask from the Lord, the more we will drown. So it doesn't mean that we have to avoid that, but if it comes in any way, then we should use it for Krishna's purpose. So we have this head association of Mahaprasad Prabhu, and he was mentioning about his various assignments he was doing in India, in Gurgaon, in Hyderabad, in London, and wherever they went, they preached Krishna consciousness. Wherever they went, they made sure that the kids are in Krishna consciousness. So they used that every opportunity to progress in bhakti. Now all the kids are chanting 16 rounds, married to devotees, and you know, progressing well in the bhakti. As soon as his son got qualified, he joined the kirtan, kirtan group, and he's traveling around the world and doing kirtans. He's saying that next 1 or 2 years, I just want to do this, that do kirtans. Okay. So material wealth or material facilities will come to us because of our prarabdhas. What we have to do is we have to engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness and see how best we can use that. If we have some extra time, how best we can use that time to serve Krishna. If we have little wealth, how we can use that to progress in Krishna consciousness. So, a foolish puffed up man defies the science of God and says that God has no meaning for him. But when he is in the grip of God's laws, is caught by some disease like cerebral thrombosis, that godless man sinks into ocean of nascence by the weight of his material acquisition. So in cerebral thrombosis, I did a little research, it's like it's a disease with brain and they forget everything and then they remember things in bits and pieces. So say if you've taken a 2 GB hard drive or 5 GB or TV now, yeah? 2 TB hard drive, and every day we are storing something in that 2 TB hard drive. And after 30 years, we plug that hard drive, what will we see in that? Whatever we stored in that, correct? So same way, our subconscious mind is like that hard drive which is constantly working. So we're sitting here, we're driving, everything is getting registered, knowingly or unknowingly. तो ऐसे कई बार होता है ना हमें कि हमें लगता है ये पहले हो चुका है deja vu, they call it deja vu, yeah. And sometimes some silly thought comes which were not so prominent, but it happened in you when you were in year 2, year 3, it was like 40 years back, 35 years back, and then you laugh at yourself, oh, how did I do that? I was so silly. ऐसे होता है कि नहीं? So whatever we will input in our subconscious mind, that will reflect upon at the time of death. The whole life will go through our eyes. So what Prabhupada is saying logically fits in that if we are always engaged in thinking about material things, material desires, fulfilling material aspirations, then that will become burden and it will make us sink more quicker. So there was this example that once Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was traveling with his all disciples, and they reached, I think they came to Calcutta, and so Srila Prabhupada went as well. Srila Prabhupada got to know that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is there, so he also went there. And all the disciples were doing darshans or changing or like going around this, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting on Vyasasana to start the class. And there was only one person sitting in front of him to listen to class. And it was Srila Prabhupada. Because he understood the essence that we have to, when we are going to visit sannyasi, or we're going to visit senior Vaishnava, or we know that if we're going to temple, what is the first step? Hearing. Yeah, we should hear from the Lord. So whatever we hear will keep getting registered in our subconscious mind, and then that will come. Then the chapter's title is Pure Devotional Service. So there was a debate happening that praying lips versus helping hands. So which is better, praying lips or helping hands?
Helping hands.
Or this? So yeah, so Madhi is saying helping hands. So is there anyone who says praying lips? Praying lips. I mean, the correct answer is both. Because in devotional services, helping other devotees is also part of devotional service. Both are required. And some of the examples of pure devotional service are serving the devotees. I mean, in one of our courses, in the devotees service.
Okay, devotee circle में हो रहा था ये.
Devotee service sports में. Because praying lips help us to go to the Supreme and ask, even if we are asking for someone, because many times even the doctors, after doing anything, they say now only Lord can fix it, isn't it? So beyond a point, helping hands also can't do anything. And at the same time, just praying doesn't help, because Lord himself saying that we should do our duties. So both are there. So devotional service is as much important as praying. And the thought of praying, like many times once we attended this course about chanting workshop, and Mahatma Das Prabhu, he said that while we are doing chanting, we should constantly pray inside that, Hey Radhe, Hey Krishna, give me service. So while our lips are chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our subconscious mind is thinking something, correct? So engage that subconscious mind to say that, Hey Krishna, Hey Radhe, give me some service. Engagement, some devotional service. So there are lots of characteristics of devotional service. So what are the characteristics of devotional service?
Taking care of fellow devotees.
Yeah, that is type of devotional service, taking care. But there are characteristics, you know, like what type of things you will say, what service you will consider, or how we'll define that this is a devotional service.
Chanting.
Serving the Lord.
I mean, give you example, like spontaneous. So devotional services are spontaneous. You don't plan for them.
Unconditional service.
It's unconditional. So they're spontaneous, they're unconditional. You don't expect anything in return. So what are such characteristics of devotional service?
Faith.
Hmm?
Faith
is not...
Uninterrupted,
constantly. There's no end to it. Characteristics, you know, like...
Gun.
So devotion... So first we saw unconditional, without anything in return. We saw that it is uninterrupted, it is spontaneous, it comes from within, nobody forces you to do it. It gives pleasure, anand. You do little service, you get so much pleasure. You do little service, even at the material, even you know, like giving someone toriyal gives pleasure. Forget the devotional service, like material, doing something materially as well gives pleasure, anand. So these are the characteristics of devotional service. And then we come to types of devotional service, like serving devotees, chanting, taking Lord's name, talking about Krishna consciousness, feeding prasadam,
puja,
worshipping the Lord,
distribution of books.
These are types, characteristics and types. And pure devotional service pleases Lord a lot. Like if you see that he is Supreme Personality Lord. He's our Supreme Father. And if he sees that we are making steps to come back to him, that gives him pleasure. It's not that his ego gets boosted, oh, he's doing something for me. See, he's doing something for me. The pleasure he gets is that, oh, my son's coming back. My son's making efforts. He, I mean, we can analyze the characteristics of spontaneous service. So like kirtan, when we're sitting in kirtan, it's spontaneous. It gives so much pleasure. It is, we're not asking anything in return. We just get immersed in that kirtan. So, and then we've been reading in the Bhakti Shastri the six things to do and six things to avoid to increase the devotional service. So what are the six things to avoid first? Atyahara prayasasya So what are the six things? Atyahara means overeating. Prayasasya is over endeavoring. Prajalpa is speaking about mundane matter. Niyamagraha means following rules and regulation for the sake of following rules and regulation. Janasangha means association with worldly people. Lalyamsha is greed. So these six things are they diminish our bhakti. They diminish our devotional service. And what are the six things which increases? Utsaha, nishtha, dhairya, so here what are the six things which are increasing? Enthusiasm, utsaha, nishchaya, and nishchaya means with determination. Dhairya means patience. Utsaha is very. And what happens is that we all, I don't know, I'm not sure if with everyone, but I've seen that when we are newly in the bhakti, new thing, the utsaha level is very high. We become very, very enthusiastic. We want to attend every program. We want to listen to every kirtan. We want to have every, And then, as and when it increases, the utsahan becomes less. The only reason is because that man increases, that I know this, I have attended this, I have done this. So, The more mine will increase, the utsahan will go down. The more we think, I still have to learn, we are still eager to learn. If we are still eager to progress, we still think that, oh, there's a lot to cover, the utsahan will be very high. But as soon as we think, oh, I know this, or I've attended it before, then utsahan will so it's very important that we're always eager, we're always enthusiastic about things. We're always determined to do it. We always have patience that one day we'll get the taste. And the association really, really kind of helps or becomes a hurdle if we don't choose the right company. So that's why in the both shlokas, Janasangha and Sangatyaga. So that's the only thing which is appearing in both. What to avoid and what to do. So here, when we're going to temple, we heard about it, but same thing applies to when we're going to dham as well. When we are going for Rath Yatra, when we are going to Vrindavan, when we are going to different dhams, we should try to see that if we can, if there are senior devotees through association, we can go, we can ask them, you know, we can listen about a lot from them, because that will also help progress. Hare Krishna. Thanks for listening. I mean, if there are any comments, questions, queries,
discuss now. Talking about this temple visit, I'm just remembering one of the lectures which I heard sometimes back on YouTube. There was a Sanskrit class, I can't remember who was taking the class.
Mm-hmm.
But very important, generally we go to temple, so especially festivals, you know,
mm-hmm.
बहुत भीड़ होती है एंड एवरीवन इज इंटरेस्टेड ईके से तरह से
दर्शन साइड
और जब आप बाहर आते हैं तो यू नो योर फ्रेंड्स और योर फैमिली मेंबर्स दे आस्क यू तो दर्शन हुई क्या एंड यू से हाँ देखा भगवान को देखा सो उसमें ये बोला गया था कि इट्स नॉट इम्पॉर्टेंट whether you have seen the Lord, it is more important whether God has seen the Lord. So once you realize that Lord has seen you, then you start introspecting yourself. Otherwise it's a mechanical process. Jao, nariyal podo, darshan karo, bahar aa jao, darshan ho gaye. So it is very important to realize that Lord has seen you.
I mean, the other day Vijay Mahendra Prabhu was saying that Lord Jagannath's, if you see the eyes are so big, so that he wants to see everyone, you know, like whoever's come to.
And without eyelid.
And then there's no eyelids, and then this red thing on the side, you know, like seeing that. He's seeing everyone with love. So he's like opened his eyes and seeing whole eye here.
But we have to keep the side the same level.